You're listening to Band Geek with Richie Castellano. Ooh. On the Riotcast Network. Riotcast.com.
Yo, it's Richie. It's Band Geek episode 14. This is a good one. I don't want to say anything about it, so I'm going to shut up now. But first, I have to do a few things. Take care of some orders of business. If you go to riotcast.com/bandgeek and you click on the Amazon banner up top, that takes you to the regular amazon.com page. However, when you complete a purchase using that link, a small percentage of your purchase goes to supporting our show, and that helps us out tremendously. So please keep doing that. That's awesome. We really appreciate it. We also appreciate the comments and the ratings you've been putting on iTunes, so thank you very much. Please check out audio-technica.com. They supplied all the headphones and microphones for our show. That was also a huge help, and they make everything for all levels. So please check them out if you have any audio needs, whether you want a simple pair of headphones or you want a nice microphone. They have everything, so please check that out. And that's about it. So I'm going to just do a short intro today and get right to it.
never wanna work that hard. I just want someone that I can talk to. I want you just the way you are.
Band Geek.
Dinner is now served.
Dinner is now served.
Table 15, you can now go to the buffet.
Oh my god.
I had a hard time keeping a straight face during that.
Yeah. Not gonna
lie.
I
was really trying.
Not gonna lie, that was fucking take a million because I suck at piano.
But we never got to the end.
We never got so to the good. End, and then Muff really just whipped it out and blew us all away.
Oh. Well, I usually whip it out on this show, but that was the first time I whipped out my kazoo.
Yeah, the theme of this episode is hashtag more kazoo.
More kazoo.
But the subtitle is...
Thank you, Internet.
Famous saxophone solos.
Yeah.
Played on kazoo.
Thank you, Internet, for appreciating the fact that we're silly and we like using kazoos.
So, this is... The real theme is microphones falling on Richie. Hold on a second.
Oh, no.
Son of a bitch. I'm having a day. Okay.
I'm sure William Joel would have been proud of that.
Yeah.
William Joel.
So, yeah, we're doing, due to space restrictions, we don't have a saxophone player. We have Muff, who's a very accomplished reeds player. What is that? It's like a plastics? It's a piece of plastic.
So are most reeds.
It's wax paper.
He's a wax paperist.
No, they're wood. It's wood.
It's a woodwind
instrument. No, a lot
instrument.
Of them are synthetic now.
Talking to Mike.
A lot of the reeds are synthetic now, and they're made out of plastic.
Interesting.
And this, talk with your real voice in the mic. What are you doing?
Otherwise, they're made out of cane. I teach music.
That's not real.
You're made out of cane.
Cane, like sugar cane.
Cane like the
devil.
It's
made out of candy?
Yeah, sugar cane.
My kazoo has chocolate inside.
Oh, God.
This specific kazoo, this is the one that Rob sent me, and it's actually, because the hole in the kazoo is smaller, Rob? It's actually pitched higher.
Oh, Rob's branch from the glory hole. We're using his trumpet kazoo to play saxophone songs.
I mentioned him before. I mentioned when he got it for me.
Hey, talking to your mic. Everybody is peeking since we started playing.
What happened?
This is me talking.
Can I talk in this voice for the rest of the night?
Okay, we should be better now. So yeah, this is the more kazoo because we. So when we started doing the podcasts and Muff played all the sax solos and kazoo, I hated it, but people actually like it. So now, we have to do it. Every episode.
And I practice.
This is what my podcast has become. I'm Richie Castellano. My co-host is Jarrett Pressman, Muff,
Hello.
Who will be showing his saxophone reed prowess, kazoo prowess today.
If I do any better on the kazoo today, they're going to give me an episode of The Cosby Show. I'm going to be one of their grandfathers.
No, you're going to be one of the guys.
Jazz musician.
No, one of the guys that the Huxtable granddad hung out with when he brings over a jazz musician. That was awesome on that show. They used to bring like B.B. King on. Oh, he's a friend of your grandfather's.
Everybody was always a friend of their grandfather.
What was his name on the show?
Exposing the children to music.
Heathcliff Huxtable?
No, B.B. King's, he had like a different name.
Oh, no.
It was like Reginald something or...
J.J. Watts or something.
It might have been his real name.
Blind Willie Witherspoon.
Simpson.
I've been playing the umbrella for 40 years. Why didn't anybody tell me? We all thought it was funny.
On vocals is my wife, Anne-Marie.
Hi.
On drums, Andy Ascolese.
Hello.
Or as my phone likes to say, Andy Ascolese.
Your phone's fancy.
I know, every time I have to say someone's name that it doesn't understand, I have to go, if I say, call Andy Ascolese, it goes, I'm sorry, Richie, I didn't understand you. And then I say, call Andy Ascolese! And then all of a sudden it says, oh, you mean Andy Ascolese. So forget it, I tried to call Cassim today. It's like, you know, it tried to call some local business. I said, call Kasim Sultan. And he goes, calling Kasim Sultan. And I'm like, Siri's like hard of hearing or something. And our actually our camera woman.
Oh, well,
and
thank you.
And Pro Tools engineer Brandy Metaxas.
Really? Thanks,
Brandy.
Hi.
Applaud for Brandy.
I'm sorry.
Applaud for everyone.
Hello, everyone.
Phil is not here today because he was fired again. By Andy.
Again.
Andy, you have any comment on your on Phil's firing?
Yes, we're still reviewing his case.
It's
not official yet.
He's busy looking at that chick that looks like the chick from Frozen.
What? Oh, talking to your mic again, Andy.
Hello. What's up?
Yeah, I don't hear Andy.
Is that
What's
better?
Going on?
There it is.
Hello, Facebook.
Yeah.
I'm here.
Hello, Facebook. Why do you always sound like you're sick even when you're not sick?
What?
You.
Emery's always sick.
I don't sound like I'm sick.
I always sound like you're sick.
So,
oh, it's a great show, guys.
Female, a small female Alec Guinness.
This is a good show because we have a lot of songs to play. We have three songs to play. We had a lot, but then Muff said that song's too hard. Fuck it, let's do three songs.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you know what? We got to get you, like, you know how the they make like trombones with the extension.
Yeah,
right.
We have to get you a kazoo with high note extensions.
Mm. That's yes.
I don't think that exists.
No, well, we have to construct it.
No, there are different pitched kazoos.
That's not possible.
Why not?
Uh-oh. Why is a pitched kazoo not possible?
Because talk into your microphone.
Emery's tech tips.
Because you have to hum into it to yes, make a sound. You can't pitch it by making it smaller.
Yes, but the wax paper that is making the vibrations of the sound.
Here we go.
Okay. No, it comes out of a hole. So if the hole is made smaller, the pitch will come out higher.
No.
Yes, it works like a trumpet.
I think it's time for...
No.
What piece of gear is this?
Yeah, a kazoo.
I actually
have some news, and last week, My Bohemian Rhapsody video hit a million hits.
Woo!
So that's really cool, and I want to thank everybody for listening, and my dad for listening to it 900,000 times. And actually, Anne-Marie threw me a surprise party this weekend, which was really nice.
I told you I was going to do that. And
you
then
did
our
tell
tent
me.
Blew away in the windstorm last night.
Oh my god!
It's okay, you got it back, right?
That's what? You saw what happened
on Facebook.
Yeah,
it's bro. You posted it on Facebook.
No,
it's personal, Richard.
No, what happened is I didn't know.
What happens to our tent is our business.
I didn't know it was windy out, and then my friend Damien posted on Facebook saying it's fucking windy out, and then I just saw a tree fall over, and then I said, "Oh, it might be windy." And then as soon as I read that post, we heard in the backyard. And she goes, and everybody goes, "What's that?" I goes, "I bet it's our tent flying into our neighbor's yard." So we ran out, and indeed it was our tent flying into the neighbor's yard, and we retrieved it, and it's all mangled now, so I feel really dumb. But it was a nice party, thank you.
It was nice while it lasted.
Did it fly into the neighbor's yard that likes me and Damien? Was it that neighbor?
No, that's three doors down. It would have to be really windy.
It was pretty windy. If we didn't tie that tent down.
No, if you're going to talk into your mic, don't talk quieter. God damn it.
We didn't tie that tent.
Hey, I have the phone sex voice here.
I think we're all just going to talk like this.
No, Amory's has the hotline. She doesn't have the sex hotline. She has the health hotline. Hello, is this the doctor? She sounds like she's sick all the time when she talks quietly.
I think I have a hive on my elbow.
Why? What, why is it got to be
chewy
like that?
It's red and it's itchy. What do I do?
I want to take a little time to talk about all the projects we're all working on, because everybody's doing a lot of stuff right now. Andy, how's the Royal Guard album coming?
It's coming along. It's good. I guess by the time this airs, we might have something available for the public.
Really? Are you done mixing?
We have four songs done mixing that are being mastered. We have another four songs that are kind of done mixing, and we have like four more that need to be worked on.
So tell our listeners what the Royal Guard is.
Okay, the Royal Guard is a band that I play guitar, and I am a songwriter and a producer.
Really?
This band.
Can you sound less excited about your band?
Andy's new thing. Hold on. Hold the fuck on. Thank you for saying that.
You're welcome, Richie.
Thank you. Because I think he does it on purpose. I think Andy is trying
Andy
to adopt
hipster?
This hipster thing where he tries to sound as little excitement as possible. Like, oh, you know, it's okay, whatever, you know.
All right, so...
Let's pick, come on, pitch man.
Royal Guard is New York City's premier.
It's like he's introducing Blue Oyster Cult.
No.
He does that.
Go. I'll tell the story after.
I play guitar in this band. My friend Todd Davidson is the other songwriter and lead singer and guitar player. My friend Fred Scragg is the drummer. And me and Richie went to high school with Fred Scragg.
Yes.
And you can find us on Facebook. You can go to our website at theroyalguardband.com. And yeah, look out for new music this year.
Cool.
And you play the guitar?
I play the guitar. I just got a power amp for my guitar.
Oh, yeah. Wait. That'll be what piece of gear is this? We'll save that. Because I got it in the road case under this.
Yeah, we're ready to go.
I'll put it right in his fucking lap.
All 47 pounds.
Well, now he knows what piece of gear it is.
I'd also like to really know what it is.
Okay. I'd like to let our listeners know that a guitar has many names. An axe. A git box.
What?
That's pretty much it.
What about git fiddle?
I don't know. That's a sex thing, isn't it?
The old
that's
six string.
The old git fiddle. The old six string git fiddle.
You gonna give her the old git fiddle tonight?
Why is it always the
you
old?
You should say it, Brandy. No, sex
stop it. It's always the old slap and tickle.
What other projects?
You know what? Last time we had Andy Graziano on the show, and he's gonna be becoming a regular cast member. Yeah. So that's soon.
Cast member?
Yeah, cast member of our show.
Working in the Disney parks?
Yes.
Cast member, what do you call it?
We're on a radio show.
God damn it. So radio member? I don't know.
What are we?
Pal.
We're cast members.
Cast members, jerk.
Do your research, Mr. Theater.
Oh, he's going to walk out.
Then ugly today.
Well, then actually anybody can play the kazoo part because it takes zero training.
What? Wow, I could not play the kazoo part.
Anne-Marie is working on her solo album.
Yay. Hey. Oh.
Go ahead. Hype. Talk in the microphone. Oh, my God.
It's dark and brooding.
Do you know what you should do?
Are there dark and ominous tones?
If she doesn't talk in the microphone, whatever noise actually gets to the microphone, you just replace with...
That's this noise.
I approve of this.
There you go. Oh, my God. That's him doing it with his mouth.
Wait, she doesn't sound like that to you guys, too?
Yes, ma'am. With his hands, he did that.
All right, so talk about your solo album that you're doing. Oh. And I got to say, you've been working really hard on it.
Thanks.
Why is everybody unenthusiastic about their projects?
Okay, tell me about people's projects, and I'll talk about them. Yeah,
Brandy's going to hype them up.
I don't know. I'm not prepared. I just finished demoing it all out, and I'm going to... Richie's gesturing at me obnoxiously. It's going to be done by the end of the summer, I promise. I promise. Ooh, it has to be done. My cutoff is before I turn 28 because I think I'm going to call the album 27. And that'd be stupid if I was 28 and I released an album called 27. So I'm imposing a deadline on myself because I procrastinate heavily.
And are these, would you say, rock songs, pop songs, jazz songs?
They're like all that. All that together.
Yes.
Well, you gotta.
It's hard. I'm having an issue. You know, I'm having an issue with this.
Well, here's some advice for musicians. It's you kind of have to. I guess not anymore, but back in the day, you had to pigeonhole your genre. You know what I mean? You had to pick a genre and stick to it. What do you think? Andy's ready to say something.
Yeah, as songwriters, I think the biggest thing that people are to find new music is that they want something that sounds familiar.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't have to be an exact copy of like or a specific genre like, oh, if this is a rock band, then I need two guitars and a bass and a drums and a high male singing. But you want the familiarity. Is that the right word?
Familiarity. Familial means that's your family.
No, I can't even make fun of him because I was doing this all day at work. Okay. But anyway, go on.
So you want a familiar sound. Yeah. So you do want to be able to explain your music by current bands or
by comparison.
By comparison,
yeah.
I think you have to be able to have some sort of cohesion from song to song because people want to. I mean, it's funny because we're talking about albums, but they don't really exist anymore.
Like a dead art.
Yeah, but you know,
I still am gonna do an album though, like an actual album that is. Cohesive, you know, like from start to finish. I know it's so much easier to go song by song and just release them on iTunes that way, but I believe in the art of the album. Like, I do believe
I love the album. I'm just sad that it, you know, it's... I understand why it died, you know, because if you could You know what it was? There's too many years of people putting shitty songs on albums, like a lot of filler tracks.
Right.
That's not why it died. It's because technology is different now.
Yeah, but no, but don't you remember? You don't remember because you're younger than us.
No, I do remember. You'd buy an album for a specific song, and then the rest of the album would be crap, and you'd have that one song.
And not only would it be crap, but it would be $17.
Yeah.
Who remembers when CDs were $17?
Yep.
That's why I'd buy cassette singles, sir.
You never bought a cassette single.
I have Coco Jumbo. I have Madonna, Ray of Light. I have...
they stopped making cassettes.
Madonna, Ray of Light came out in
like
90s.
I have Joan Osborne.
Why were they still making cassettes
then? One of Us. And the B-side was Dracula Moon, and I love that.
The Nashio household didn't have a CD player until 2009.
Until 2002. You were close.
Really?
We didn't have a computer in my house until like 2002.
Why is that swinging back and forth? It's making me nervous.
Because Anne-Marie is sitting on the cable and pulling the... There you go.
So that's the exciting project you're working on. What are you working on?
I'm always working on stuff, but I actually just finished working on a project called Love American Style.
Whoa.
It's a dance company in Philadelphia called Rennie Harris Raw. And you know what? Maybe I'll play some of these songs on this podcast.
No, this is only sax podcast.
Well, I'll do it. All right, whatever.
Because I'm a sax machine.
Fine. But basically, they contacted me because of the YouTube video, because they're doing a hip-hop dance production, like a theater production, using rock songs, and they're using a large amount of Queen songs. So I had to recreate Play the Game, Stone Cold Crazy, Under Pressure, Flash, and Lap of the Gods. I think I'm missing one. But that was most of them. And I had to recreate them as close as possible. So
nice.
I put a thing on my YouTube channel. If you go check me out, you know, my Richie Castellano on YouTube. If you check that out and you can hear some of those songs, I put like a sampler together. But maybe I can convince them to let me play some full songs on here.
Well, some people don't know that it's actually... Because if they wanted to use the actual Queen songs, it's easier to have...
Like, I don't know why I'm doing it, to be honest. Like,
no, I know, but is it a licensing thing?
I think it is. I think that because you're using it for
profit.
Because
you're using the actual recording.
Yeah, you can use the song. I think...
A lot of times you hear like classic rock songs and stuff done in commercials, but they're done by different people.
Right.
Because the actual classic rock recording is owned by someone. So the way to get around that... is that you're not using the recording, you're just...
The law is, from what I remember from college, is as soon as a song has been recorded and released, anybody has the right to cover it, as long as they pay the rate.
Right.
As long as they pay the copyright fees and everything like that. For example, I sold Bohemian Rhapsody on iTunes.
It's a licensing fee.
Yeah, right. So people ask me, how do you sell a song you didn't write? Well, there's a website. I mean, there used to be a company called the Harry Fox Agency. It's actually still around. And their website is called Limelight, I believe. And what you do is, so if anybody's interested in doing a cover on your album or something like that, it's not impossible. You could do it. And it's actually very easy to do.
Yeah, we did a cover on Two Part Invention.
We did. We did a cover on Morning Starlight, but Mozart's dead. He's not going to dispute
that.
Here's
a question that might not know.
I like it.
I'm just picturing Mozart's lawyer knocking on your door in a powdered wig.
Nine!
sorry, Emery.
The question is, how long until something's public domain?
Isn't it like 75 years after the death of the author?
I think 50.
Oh, 50?
There is a distinct answer. We just don't know.
No, it's very complicated because in the 60s, at some point in the 20th century, copyright law changed. It used to be like 10 years after the song was written.
Right.
Then it would go in, not public domain, but the rights would be for sale. So that's why the Beatles got screwed out of all their publishing.
Right.
Yeah.
But now I believe... I'm sure I'm screwing this up, but if someone... Wait, have it?
No. I got it. Yeah, okay. Works published before 1923 have a maximum copyright protection of 75 years.
Past the death of the composer?
Correct.
Okay.
Works published 1923 to 1978, maximum copyright protection of 95 years from the year published, mm-hmm. and then works published after 78, the life of the longest surviving author plus 70 years.
Oh.
70.
Okay, so the stuff before 78, you can assume that it's going to be 95 years after it was published and then from, what is it, 78
it says,
on?
It says the longest surviving author plus 70 years.
Okay.
Yes, so if you ever wondered why your local orchestra, like your town symphony, does all Mozart and Beethoven, it's because it's free. You know, like, why don't they just do a, you know, an evening of film score music? Because they got to pay for that.
Right. Happy birthday. No, no, no.
Well, or Motown songs.
That's also why school plays are always the same, like, 12 plays.
Yeah, because
that's why everybody's also by
Birdie. They also release that from time to time.
Yeah, because it has to do with what's on Broadway and what's not on Broadway.
You're not allowed to just do a play. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so if you are making a CD or whatever, you want to do a cover song, you go on limelight.com, you search the song, and it shows you the publishing company. So in the case of Bohemian Rhapsody, I believe it was EMI was the publisher, I hope I'm remembering that correctly.
Sounds, maybe.
But so what I had to do is I had to approximate how many copies I was going to sell of that, and then you pay, and it's something, it's not that much money, it's like a few cents per copy that you pay,
right.
And you pay them, and then they mail you a certificate saying I have, or they email it to you, whatever. It takes about a week or two, and you have a certificate saying I am authorized to sell this many copies because I've already paid the license. So it's not like you sell it and then you pay the license. You have to prepay for
it.
Right. Wow.
And then it's your responsibility to keep track of how many copies you've sold, because if I went over the amount I bought, then I have to re-up with them.
Right.
So that's how that works.
But now with iTunes, it's easy because you just get an email from them like, this is how many downloads.
Yeah.
So it kind of, you don't have to worry about, oh, how many CDs are left in the box and like, I gave 14 away and whatever.
My accounting is a total mess.
Digital things make, things so much, digital download makes everything easier. But your accounting for about 15 years was a single envelope, a ratty envelope with tally marks on it. And every 7 months or so, he'd call up Andy, and that was it. And be like, okay,
I got 10 bucks for you.
$12. Here's your $12.58.
Yeah.
I think you still have that envelope.
And they were always like, oh, cool. Making money from our art.
And you also know that's why, like, Chili's and Applebee's and stuff can't have their, like, own birthday songs. You know how that's why that started?
Get out of here.
Because... So who owns the rights to Happy Birthday? It's
not
the author. There's a Happy Birthday is still under
it's
copyright.
Written by
a woman. Some
two. The Girl Scouts of America, right?
Really?
No. I don't know why I'm pointing at me.
It's,
yeah.
Why didn't I know that?
Here at Band Geek, we just make up facts. And we challenge you to look them up.
No,
so.
It's true.
We have the internet, but we don't use it.
I was watching a CNBC thing on like chain restaurants like Applebee's, Chili's, you know, Cheesecake Factory, those kinds of things, and they were saying that it started when those chains started that they had to come up with something else to sing Happy Birthday because the owner of the copyright for Happy Birthday sued whoever the first one was.
Nice.
Because they were singing Happy Birthday in the restaurants for people, so now that's why they have like, whoa, 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 someone told us it was your birthday.
Hey, be careful, I don't want to pay that song.
Anyway,
let's do
anyway, you said, it's only 2 cents per copy
not
or whatever.
2 cents, it's like whatever, 10 cents or something.
Or whatever it is. But the problem is, if you try to sell or make a profit off of the original recording, someone owns that, and that you cannot make any money off of. So there's
without
a difference
permission. You need
without
permission.
For that. Yeah. So there's licensing, and then there's using the actual recording. So these people hired Richie, so they don't have to use the actual recording.
I guess. I'm not really sure.
Or maybe they just thought
it
would be.
What are you doing, Richie?
Shut up.
That's the wrong way to put on a guitar.
Do you know what's going to be fun?
I wish people could see
this episode's going to be like 5 minutes long because everything we said actually has no truth to it. And it's just going to be all edited out.
I don't claim to dispense truth on this show. I'm just
just facts.
Yeah, just
we're Wikipedia.
We're just
for
the
podcasts.
Facts. All right, I'm going to use my new guitar on this. Let me tune this up. All right, you can't have a saxophone show
without this next song.
Without this next song. And if you want to jam along, this is an easy one.
This would have been a Facebook request.
This would have been a Facebook request.
Absolutely. This was my Facebook request. Yeah.
Was it?
I've been wanting to play this, I don't know, for a while.
Hold on. It's a Facebook request. Must Facebook request. 1, 2, 3! Must Facebook request! Must Facebook request! Must Facebook request! Ah! Okay, good.
Wow.
What? They're all Must Facebook requests.
They are all Must Facebook requests!
What episode is this? 14, 15, and Richie is 14. Richie's so bitter.
We have to add 3 beats to that.
Most faithful requests. Okay. I learned this song in the car today. Let's see.
So we urge you to do the same when you're listening to this show. Please, let go of the wheel.
I'm stuck.
Right chords.
Okay, so if you want to play along, this is just D minor, B flat major 7th, A minor.
This couch is eating me.
Can we tell what song this is?
No. It has to be a surprise.
Oh, they're going
to
know.
They know what song this is. Come on, how do you not know what this song is?
Stop giving it away, Richie, with your smooth-ass tunes.
Oh, yeah.
I could barely play.
Lay you down.
I had to play a lot of bass today at work, and my fingers aren't used to it because I'm a... Don't play enough bass anymore.
Oh, man.
That's your wife.
Your wife that's playing bass.
I'd like you to know that both couples in this room really make me want to get married.
Hey.
Hey, there's a little marriage up in this room right now.
I'm single.
Oh, this is like a
You're right over there, Richard.
I'm running out of people at work to sleep with.
So we're going straight to the bridge, which happens to be the same chords?
No, you don't have to worry about it. I have to worry about it.
Okay.
Alright.
I'm going to get a little funky in the bridge, though, so I do need to know about it.
Alright. So, yeah, after the chorus, just go right into it, Muff.
Yeah, it's the same thing that Ricky told me.
Here's your pitch. Okay, here we go.
Yeah, I could forget we're not in love anymore.
That'll just run in here and run out? Did you know he lives in Staten Island?
It's hot in here.
It is very hot in here.
Oh my god.
That will help.
I like that he was going on. You're like, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
I was doing that for like 2 minutes.
Because you kept forgetting he was doing it.
I kept forgetting. Okay.
Oh man.
All right, it's time for a what piece of gear is this?
Whoa, we're back to that.
Hey. We haven't done that in a while.
Yeah. Oh, I gotta give it to him. Shit, I can't play at the same time.
Right, hold on.
No, it's all right. You guys can start. I know I'm giving him.
Okay.
If you, the viewers at home, have a piece of gear that you'd like me to identify, please send a self-addressed stamped envelope to BandGeek.
Okay.
Courtesy of One Internet Way.
All right.
World Wide Web, New York.
Now's the time on BandGeek. When we ask our comedian, Jared Pressman, what piece of gear this is, musical gear this is, he has no idea.
I hope this is expensive.
Let's see if he can get out of this one this week.
Oh my god.
Oh. Oh, so this, are waiting for you. There we go.
Oh, we're in A, sorry. Phil does it in C.
You told me A.
Phil does it. Phil does it.
You looked at me in the eyes and you said A.
No, that's not what he was talking about, Emery.
Oh my god.
What is he talking about?
Nothing.
Oh.
Okay.
Now it's C.
All right, Muff, cover your ears.
Take off your head. Ow!
My ears! Stop
picking your finger. Shut up for a second. Shut up.
Distraction.
The piece of gear. The piece of gear is a VHT 252 power amp for guitar. It's a guitar power amp.
Okay.
All right. So this is a piece of gear that Andy just got. It's an older piece of gear, and Andy's been looking for one of these for, I'd say, 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
This is Andy's lifelong quest, and he completed the quest.
Completed the quest.
He found a used one on eBay.
Yeah.
So Andy just got one. And
maybe we shouldn't tell people, because if I want to get another one, they're not going to be on eBay anymore.
Well, you know what this is? Well,
you need two.
Well,
you need redundancy.
You know what? Muff, what is this?
Is it made out of an elephant? Because it's heavy. This is the old VHT 252 stereo power amplifier. I don't have my headphones on anymore. What you got here is two channels. Each channel has volume, presence, and depth. Volume, so you can be louder and softer. Presence for Christmas time, and depth for when you want to do beat slam poetry. It has a giant green on and off switch, again, for the Christmas-themed musician. It's really heavy. it's big and black.
Whoa, stop that.
What I think it does is it amplifies your stereo. dually. I will say, okay, for real, I will say that this looks like it goes inside of a rack. Like,
there you go.
Okay.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yes. Yes, like this one goes to Iraq, one goes to Iran, and one goes to Qatar. That's really all I'm still mystified by the whole, shouldn't you just plug a guitar into an amp and play it?
Well, that's what people have been telling me for years. that's another story, but... If you want to hear me get bitter, that's how you do that.
No, not this episode.
So what do you think?
It also says, caution. To reduce the risk of fire, replace only with the same type of fuse. Disconnect power before changing fuse. So, there's that.
You know, there's a back panel, too.
I think it's sound
Wait,
advice.
You want to help me turn it around?
It's like the thing weighs about 80 pounds.
Oh, my God.
I've carried it before.
Oh, my God.
That's the thing he has,
God damn it.
Right?
Oh, jeez. Okay.
That's his.
Oh, it is his. Oh.
Andy's isn't here yet.
Okay. Yeah, well, it's not mine because Andy's played it more than I have.
Sure.
Andy should get it retubed for me.
You could hear Richie's amp on the new Royal Guard album.
You son of a bitch.
Okay, so the back
of
this...
If you want to see mine, you come see me play live. And
very good.
Mine.
There
you
go.
Nice. So the back of this thing has inputs, A and B, and mono, which, you know, it doesn't have as much energy as when you don't have mono. it has... it has imp dance. Imp dance, which is, I'm assuming, for when you're playing the Reigns of Castamere. And speaker jacks. There's a very helpful hint on this that it says use first.
Very good.
So if you get one of these VHD things, make sure you use that first.
There's no context whatsoever. It's terrible.
At least it doesn't have a ghost on it like the other
thing. Ghost.
And the Pac-Man ghost. All right.
So, all right, you need to take this off my knee now.
All right. What is it?
It's a power amp. I know that.
Very good. Yay. Oh my god, you got it
right. Yeah, but does he know what a power amp does?
It says it on it.
It's a power amp for.
But I don't know what power amp power. It's a power amp for you know when Mega Man is low on energy. That's an energy tank. Never mind.
Yeah, it's a. It's
power
my
power amp for.
What does a power amp do?
Is this a serious question?
I think it is.
It gives your amp more power.
Yeah.
I think Muff would like to know.
No, okay.
And it doesn't work on water.
Here's the thing. Let's talk guitar gear because this is Band Geek and I'm allowed to do that. Okay, yeah, you're right. A lot of guitar players, you get a combo amp like a Fender or something like that.
Let's start with the history of guitar amps.
Let's start with that? Where are we going to end up?
In ancient times.
Well, okay. The first electric guitar was made by Rickenbacker. And the amp was actually attached to the guitar through a pole.
Really?
Yeah. Well, actually, no. The first one they made was like a frying pan. But when they mass produced them, there's pictures of it. It was like a Hawaiian style guitar, and there's an amp, and there's a pole holding the guitar in place, and you had to sit behind it and play it like on a stand, and it would go down to a pole into the speaker.
Richie means a Polish person was holding.
No, I don't.
I'm back, doodly doo.
Fender. Came.
I don't know the history of amps too well, but I know that
the general history is that you had an amp, you plug your guitar into it, and you hear
sound
through it.
Yeah, it had a very simple.
It went through a lot of stuff inside.
Yeah, the first amps were tubes.
Because your metal string is vibrating over a magnet.
Yeah. I mean the first amps were you had Fenders and Marshalls, you know, and the difference being Fenders were made with 6L6 tubes and Marshalls had EL34 tubes in the power section, right? But Fenders traditionally, I don't know the exact history. My dad would be able to tell you, but most of the time you see a guitar player, they plug into a combo amp, like a Fender Twin, Fender Super Reverb, Fender Deluxe, like all those great amps from like the 60s, you know what I mean? Then you have like the Marshalls. Now the Marshalls, you know, the big term is Marshall stack. So what they've done with that is they removed the speaker portion from the amp portion. So you put the Marshall head, which has all your sound and your power in that one box. You put it on top of speaker boxes.
Don't write us angry letters. We also know that Fender also makes that. But
right, yeah. You go ahead, write me angry letters. I don't care.
Wait, write a letter.
I want to
just
see
write
a letter.
An actual letter.
No, people send me. People have been sending me feedback on the show, and it's all great. And people are offering suggestions. We love it.
But
go ahead, correct me, and I'll give you a
which
give
is
you
the
shout
whole
out.
Reason behind this whole episode.
No, we'll have like John Lebrio on one day, and he'll tell us more than you ever wanted to know about amplifiers.
Oh yeah.
So now you have the amp and the speakers separately, right? And that was very common for a while. Then in like the 80s, I'd say it moved to like a rack system. where you would separate every single part of your system chain. You'd have your guitar. Now, an amp typically has like a guitar, like you plug the guitar in, has a preamp section, and that's where you get your tone from. That's like where the gain control is, the EQ, you know, like your treble, bass, middle, all that stuff. And then internally in the amp, it goes to another section powered by a whole other set of tubes that make that weak signal loud enough to go into a speaker. Right.
Oh, so that's the thing that's converting the signal that it's receiving from the magnets in the pickup. No.
The preamp is doing
that. The preamp.
Oh, but it's emitting a weak signal to the power amp.
The signal coming from a guitar is really wimpy. So it has to go through several stages of amplification.
I think I have. Go,
Andy. All right, go.
So you have a guitar and you plug it in and now you get the preamp. Like Richie said, the preamp is where you get your tone.
Yeah.
Mostly,
now,
yeah.
When you see those rock bands that have like 15 speakers on stage, you can't power all those 15 speakers, but you still want to retain that same tone that you got from the original preamp. So all you're doing is taking the preamp and putting it through a bunch of power amps to power all the different speakers.
Okay.
Yeah, power amps have to really jack that sound
level
up.
The power amp is what's powering the speaker.
And usually a power amp is where the weight comes from because they're really heavy.
I guess it starts at the pickup, goes to the preamp. Preamp color. Okay, starts at the pickup, goes to the preamp. The preamp colors it. The preamp then sends it to the power amp, which makes it way louder, and then
actually
speakers.
Powers the speakers.
And speakers.
Right. So in the 80s, what guys started doing is they started getting modular systems where instead of having this all take place in one combo amp, they had a preamp, which had like, you know. And a lot of times they were digital or even solid state. So what solid state did is it gave you, it made everything lighter. You didn't need tubes anymore. And
it was more consistent.
Some people say it was more consistent. You can get more distortion or something like that.
What's the benefit to having all the stuff separate?
You can mix and match.
I'll just tell you the main reason why I got it is because it's easier to do stuff in stereo. Because like Muff said, it has A and B. It's two channels, and most
he did say that.
He did
because I'm right about everything.
He said A and B.
You're totally right.
So if you have a guitar, a combo, it's one sound, and that's it. If you have a stack, it's one thing. But when you have like a rack with a preamp, and you have a power amp, a stereo power amp, now all of a sudden your sound is in stereo, and you could do stereo delays and stereo choruses and all that stuff. And if you didn't have the power amp, you would need two Marshall heads or two combo amps.
Which is what Buck does. Two Marshall heads. But like with a rack system, you can put a bunch of different preamps in a rack and you can have, here's my clean sound, here's my dirty sound, and have like a switching system. There was this guy in the 80s, in America it was Bob Radshaw, and in England it was Cornish. I think it was Pete Cornish, who did all like, you know, the big rock rigs, and they're still around. But, you know, you want to have the system modular so you can pick and choose what you want. You know what I mean? Like, so you're not, if you're not tied to whatever the amp has in it, you can pick whatever you want. And then you could go crazy with effects and stuff like that. Recently, people have been going back to the simpler things because, you know, if you look at some of these...
Especially low-watt amps, too.
Yeah, yeah. If you look at some of these rigs from the 80s, they got really out of hand.
You know what I just heard out of the entire thing you guys just explained? Sorry.
You didn't learn anything from that?
I knew everything.
We
I explained it before
you.
They did.
Well, they were trying to educate you. I was confused.
Well,
I don't know what's going on.
So that's
don't know what's going on.
You know, that's why. And Andy got this. He got actually, it's the most popular power amp I think ever made, because when Andy and I go on tour at BOC in like Europe for the big festivals, we always look behind the stage at the rigs, and like, you know, Motley Crue and all these bands, they always have this power amp in there. And I think that's because Bob Bradshaw likes that amp for powering the effects returns. Yeah.
So the choruses and the delays.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And it's nice stereo and it's great sound.
Yeah. Let's do our last song. This is going to be Band Geek Conquers. FGA.
One, two, three,
four. For Band Geek Conquers, we're going to be doing the Chicago Classic 25 or 6-4. This is a pretty simple song, and a lot of people probably know it already. If you don't know it, here are the chords. This is actually two parts. I'm going to have to overdub the acoustic part, but it's... I'm doing octaves, basically. Let me get a less distorted sound. So it's A. G. F sharp. F. E. And then the acoustic actually goes... A minor.
Ah.
G. D. F major 7th. E.
Really?
I think it might be... Oh, actually, I'm sorry. It's probably A minor 7th. Oh, A minor. A minor 7th. D. F major 7th. E. Yeah. It's like really...
Isn't that a song from the 60s?
This is a song from the 60s.
Yeah, yeah.
Is this from the 70s?
I don't know. Is it? I don't know what it's from. All right. So anyway...
Hey, Richie, I noticed you brought extra kazoos with you.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's the rising sun.
No.
Yes. Let's do the harmonies. So, first of all, who's going to sing this?
Amory.
Can you sing this?
Richie.
I just blew my freaking Brandy. Voice out on that last song. Let's see.
You're cute.
Let me try this.
I guess I could try to sing it if you want.
Should all take a verse, actually.
Yeah, we can
waiting for the break of day. Fuck. You want to sing it, Andy?
Sure, I'll sing it.
Andy's going to sing a song.
I don't know the lyrics. Can you put something over there?
We don't know maybe? The lyrics for any song we do on this show.
Get a chance.
Every video.
Oh, there
that's
it is.
Whack.
What? Perfect.
I didn't even get a chance.
Well, let's hear it. Andy, sing a verse. Let's hear what you sound like. One, two, three, four.
Waiting for the break of day.
Winner.
Searching for something to say.
That sounds really good. Okay. And flashing lights up against the sky.
Sitting close eyes.
Giving up, I close my eyes.
Oh yeah.
Sitting
cross-legged on the floor.
You sing the high part.
Sitting cross-legged on the floor. 25 or 6 to 4.
All right, so good. So the harmony, you're singing.
Sitting cross-legged on the floor. Wait.
Just Amory.
Sitting cross-legged on the floor. 25 or 6 to 4.
Good. And then the second time it goes.
25 or 6 to 4.
That's the second and third
time.
The chords there are F, C, G, F. Pretty easy. Okay. Then okay. What are you singing?
Sitting cross legged on the floor. 25 or 6 to 4.
That's your part.
25 or 6 to 4.
So I guess I'm singing.
Sitting cross-legged on the floor. 25 or 6 to 4.
Let's try it together. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Sitting cross-legged on the floor. 25 or 6 to 4.
Now let's try the second chorus.
Should I try to do?
Oh, so should I try the 3, 4?
Should I try to do some more? 25 or 6 to 4.
Am I singing the right part?
It sounded great.
I'm singing
first time. It's different.
I'm singing the wrong part.
Sitting cross-legged on the floor, and then you follow it the second time. I think.
Sitting cross-legged.
No, you go. Sitting cross-legged on the floor, and I go sitting. What's sitting?
Sitting
cross-legged on the floor.
That's what I just said.
Sitting cross-legged.
That's what I just said.
3, 4.
Sitting cross-legged on the floor.
Right,
bingo.
One time. 3, 4.
Sitting cross-legged on the floor. 25 or 6 to 4.
Oh, second, I should have tried to do some more, right? Let's do it with those lyrics. 3, 4.
Should I try to do some more? 25 or 6 to 4.
And then the third one is 25 or 6 to 4, 25 or 6 to 4. Yeah. 3, 4.
25 or 6 to 4. 25 or 6 to 4.
I have good. To do that.
There's a lot of horns in this song, isn't there?
We got it, don't worry. All
right.
Let me get my harmonica holder on here.
I'm the only one who learned.
Am I singing on my guitar pick?
No.
Whenever I put on a harmonica holder, I feel like saying, "Where is Padme?
Where is Padme?
She was alive, I felt her.
No.
Do you have another pick over there?
Yes.
Couchy, the other one.
Can I plug this in?
That couch is dangerous.
Okay.
It really is.
Oh, and then at the end of the song, it goes D, C, B, B flat, A. And then it goes A with like a B chord with an A in the bass. It's like a sharp 11th or something.
Or something.
Right? What is
yes,
that?
That's a sharp 11th, sharp 13th.
Oh, yeah, you want a sharp 11 and 13.
What's a 9? And then... That's a sharp 11.
And sharp 13.
Well, when you have the 6, it's a 13.
No, it's a regular 13. So it's like a 9, sharp 11, 13, sharp 11. 11. Yeah, sharp 11. Math! Okay.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Six to four.
Projectile kazoo to love my ending.
I did. And I was like, but the ending, but the ending.
The ending sounded great.
Amazing. Oh my god. Peter Cetera is going to...
Everything in plastic flew from my hands.
Thank you for listening to Band Geek. This has been the hashtag More Kazoo episode.
Part one.
Part
one in a six-part series.
Oh man.
It's really hot down here.
I'm having a stroke. Oh my god, I'm Richie Castellano. Anne Marie Castellano on vocals and bass. Andy Escalise on drums. Brandy Metaxas, our camera woman. And the star of our show, the kazoo man himself, a Mr. A Jarrett, a Pressman. Subscribe on riotcast.com. Thanks for listening.